Thank you, everybody, for being here for the Conference Committee on House File 3686, which has to do with home warranty issues. And yesterday at our pre-meeting, we had a very productive discussion about looking at the side-by-side and the differences in the language between the Senate and the House. And as a result of that, House Research has put together a delete-all amendment, which is the DE3 amendment. And I'm wondering if Senator Saltzman would be willing to move that amendment so we can have our discussion.
And Madam Chair, I would be delighted to, and I also want to thank you for the work that we've both done on this very important issue. And I think that the amendment really represents the best of both bills and represents the work that we've tried to do with our stakeholder groups. And I really appreciate that people have been willing to work on this issue and come together. So I would introduce that amendment.
Okay, thank you. To get it into the shape we need, is there any discussion of the amendment? Okay, all those in favor of the delete all amendment, DE3, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. Now, I believe that Representative Openmuller has an amendment to that amendment. Would you like to move that?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. There's actually several little tweaks that are, I think, mostly typos, and I don't know how you best want to handle the oral amendments first, or you want to do the written ones we have. The first one, though, I guess, maybe if we do the written ones, is find the right...
is it the A2 amendment?
The A2 amendment, and this would insert the Senate language relating to contribution indemnity claims arising from the breach of warranties. That was part of the language that the homeowners, when we sat down with the homeowners kind of at the last bit that we wanted to do, we put the DE3 together. We didn't get the right all the language in there that we wanted.
All right. Is there any discussion of the A2 amendment?
Well, what does the A2 amendment mean?
I'd be happy to do that, Madam Chair.
Representative Obermuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Essentially what this would say is that if you are a subcontractor to a general contractor, and that you are, and you go under, this goes to the dissolution statute. A few years back, we took the that said when you go under right now, if your business goes out of business and you're dissolved, you can't be sued anymore. And we carved out an exception for 327A claims, which are these homeowner warranty claims, and home warranty claims, I should say. And what this would essentially do is say that if you're a subcontractor, for example, the stucco subcontractor, and you go out, you would otherwise be barred, or you would be dissolved, and you wouldn't have any contribution claims against you. This will revive, or not revive, but allow you to be sued for contribution claims if you go out of business.
Any further questions about the amendment? Senator Saltzman.
There. On that point, Madam Chair, and I think for Senator Limmer, is that this was pretty much the Senate language, correct? And so I did notice that when I saw this amendment, I was unsure. So thank you. I appreciate that. And that it also is in two places. We also arranged that. So thank you very much.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the A2 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No? The A2 amendment carries. All right, so you said you had some oral amendments, Representative Obermuller?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first is on of the DE3 amendment on line 5.31. We're missing, after it says the home dispute resolution, it should be the home warranty, so we would insert the word warranty there. And then the other one.
So where does warranty go after the word home?
Yeah, so it would be the home warranty dispute. That's what it should say. The second is on 7.16. The word timelines, it should stick after timelines, insert in this section. We can take these separately if you prefer to. I'm happy.
I
to
think
do.
Let's do that, Representative. Okay. My pea-sized brain probably couldn't hold more details right now because of fatigue. But let's look at line 5.31. Any discussion of that oral amendment?
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Limmer, I'm
thank
sorry.
Thank you. I'm trying to catch up to the dispute resolution process. Just as a little background, would someone tell me, is this a voluntary dispute resolution agreement that would be signed by parties, or is it a mandatory one required in order to contract for a service?
Senator Limmer, my understanding is that this is voluntary. It's an alternative route for homeowners to resolve their issues with builders, and it keeps them from having to go to court and litigate.
And one other question, is this presented to the consumer at the time a contract is originated when they are seeking the service and working it out? Or does this come up if there's a dispute or a damage and then they agree to it at that point?
Senator Limmer, our understanding is that this will be a part of the signing of the mortgage and all the papers that go with it.
Signing of a mortgage?
Or the, after a home is built, the papers that are signed between the homeowner and the builder. So, again, yes, please, Senator Saltzman.
There, and Madam Chair and Senator Limmer, in the Senate, we added language so that this was part, that this process was then presented to homeowners in advance, and that was something that we felt was very important to ensure. And Ms. Pontius, would you maybe make a note of where we added that language in the bill?
Section 12.
That was in Section 12. That was something that we added probably on is that on 7.30?
Representative Obermuller.
Madam Chair and Senator Saltzman, I believe the language you're looking for is on 7.30, where that requires that the warranties and the exclusions, including the information about the homeowner warranty dispute resolution process, will be conveyed in writing to the owner at the time of contracting.
Madam Chair, the reason I ask that is I've been a realtor for a number of years, and some of those responsibilities with selling new construction,
mm-hmm.
and it's important to have it up front.
Right.
Having it later in the process, the parties have a different leverage position mm-hmm. if there's damage, or if there's no damage, or limited damage, or and they're working the deal out, and one party may just look at it and say, no, take me for it. Go the expensive route. So it's important at the point of contract to sign this up front.
I believe the Senate language that was added does guarantee that that will happen.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Representative Obermuller?
I'm not trying to dominate the proceedings, so I do apologize for that. But
that's okay.
I just wanted to make clear.
You have argued both sides of this issue in court. So.
Senator Limmer, the process that we put in place will be mandatory in the sense that if you want to start a lawsuit, you have to go through this unless your builder hasn't or you haven't paid attention. So there will be a process you have to go through. But the language of the bill provides that if you don't like the process that we've set out in statute, you can agree to something different on your own. But whatever that is, you'll know all of that but at the time you start the contracting process.
Madam Chair, the
Senator Limmer.
Real estate agents, especially ones that are using Minnesota Bar-approved realtor forms, also require arbitration offerings. And if the parties don't want to sign it, they can simply say the party refused, or buyer or seller refused to participate, which means it's a signal that says if there's a problem sometime in the future, one side doesn't want to go through arbitration. And that means that the only remedy left would be a courtroom or a private arrangement. But those are now getting to the point now if you're going to be a smart real estate agent or a smart seller or buyer, you got to have it in writing at the point of the contract, and it has to be, because this is following the same model.
Very good. Any other comments, questions? All right. Was there another?
Madam Chair, I think I'll renew my motion then to insert the word warranty after home on line 5.31.
All right. Thank you, Representative Obermuller. All those in favor of that insertion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. The oral amendment passes. You had a second oral amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It'll be on line 7.16. I'm not sure where we lost it, but it would be after the word timelines, insert in this section. And Madam Chair, as you might recall, there are some timelines in here about, 10 days to do this and 5 days to do that. And we want to make sure that, non-compliance, if you offer something on the 11th day or so forth, that you don't lose some rights. But we don't want this to be a provision that takes away the entire statute of limitations, which this would basically, as it's written without the in this section, I think would give us some risk on that part. So I think we should add the words in this section there.
Any discussion of that oral amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the inclusion of the words in this section after the word timelines on line 7.16, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That second oral amendment then passes.
One more, Madam Chair, if I may, and it's just on line 8.19, after the number 12, we should insert, or strike is, insert R.
Representative Obermueller on lines 8.12, did you say?
8.19.
Representative Obermueller, as an English teacher, I deeply appreciate your attention to the correct verb. So that's excellent. All right. Any discussion of that oral amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor of the word are instead of is on line 8.19, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. That oral amendment passes. So do we have any discussion now of the overall DE3 that's before us?
Madam Chair, I do have one more written amendment that I believe is distributed now, and it deals with something that did not make it into the DE amendment. There was some language added in the Senate about the relationship between the contractor, the building, residential building contractor, and its subcontractor, and so I would move the A10-2597 amendment.
All right. If we could have that passed out to the members. I think we have the A. Let's see it.
I don't have it either, so let's. Thank you so much.
All right, Representative Obermueller moves the A10-2597 amendment. Would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is basically what this amendment would do is say that when a subcontractor is hired by its general contractor, that we want to make sure that the subcontractor knows about the performance guidelines that were that are going to be applicable to the project. So this is what it does. I will note that I have some reservations about bringing this forward because of the fact that this is not something that made it through the. It was not one of the consensus items in the homeowner warranty task force that many of us worked very hard on, and I know we got Charlie Durenberger here. But I think this is compromise language from the extremely strong language that was inserted in the Senate version, and so I think it's worth talking about, and I think we should consider it, and I'll certainly respect the committee's decision if it decides to push it off, but I think this is language that everyone could live with. So,
all right, is there any discussion to this amendment? Senator Salzman.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I do appreciate this being at least put on the table for at least discussion, because I think that there have been some discussions. I also know that there has been a discussion of the interests in working with the subcontractors as part of this ongoing conversation. I think it's important to note that the working group that Jolly put together does have additional work, and I appreciate the commitment of Mr. Durenberger to continue that on some of the other issues that have not been resolved yet. This is a piece of that in terms of home warranties, but I do know that there is additional work, but I do appreciate the chance to at least put this on the table for some discussion. Mr. Obermueller, Representative Obermueller.
Any other discussion from the panel?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Lehman.
Help me out with this. Isn't this a study or a work group that's supposed to continue after this point?
That's correct.
And wasn't this one of the subject areas that they were going to be studying?
Senator Lehman, that was my understanding in my discussions with Mr. Durenberger, who is the chair of that work group. But if it would be all right with me if somebody from the audience would like to comment right now on this. Otherwise, I think we should. Yes, please. Would you identify yourself for the tape?
Madam Chair, members of the Conference Committee, Peter Coyle from Larkin Hoffman. I represent the Builders Association of the Twin Cities. I also sat through most of the meetings with the task force. And respectfully, on behalf of the Builders Association of the Twin Cities, we would urge you not to adopt the amendment, with all due respect to Representative Obermueller. This issue is an important one. It deserves discussion, but I think that the task force process that's there is the better vehicle for doing that rather than adopting it as part of this process today. So I would urge you not adopt it and defer it for discussion at the task force level. If I might just take one more second, I mentioned to Ms. Pontius, if Mr. Obermiller is trying to catch all the home warranty references, that I think there's one more at 7.31 that you may want to look at as well, just to make sure that that's caught. But those are my comments, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
Yes, Senator Limmer.
Madam Chair, I've been around the legislature a few times, and the concern I have
is that the legislature at one time started getting, and I mean on the legislative level, we started getting into the point of creating building codes actually in statute. And by doing so, and I think in hindsight, everyone would have admitted now that we're not experts in building codes or any of the intricacies that go into home construction. As a result, I think as a direct result of our getting involved in something that we really didn't have a lot of expertise in, we created much of the problems in the home construction that creates mold and the eventual failure of construction standards. Some legislators thought that, well, if a little insulation is good, a lot of insulation is better, and we actually made laws to that effect, and we didn't allow the experts in the Building Standards and Codes Division of the Department of Administration to do the job that they were supposed to. And even at that time, it was a commerce responsibility, and plumbing is now a health department responsibility. So when I begin to see this type of amendment, and I don't think, was this a part of the finished bill in either the House or the Senate, or is this something new that we're introducing?
Senator Limmer, I can tell you from the House perspective, we met with all of the stakeholders about a month ago or a month and a half ago. This was not a part of the discussions then. We went through this bill line by line, section by section. And the subcontractor issue came up after we had finalized the House language. Senator Saltzman, I'm there.
On the appointment, Madam Chair, and Senator Limmer, some language like this was added in the Economic Development Committee. Mm-hmm. I had expressed interest in working with the subcontractors. Mm-hmm. I did not support inclusion of that language because I wanted to work with all the stakeholders, as you have indicated. But I also, it did go into the bill as a placeholder. Since that time, the language is a problem. But I do want to recognize that the subcontractors have some concerns, and I do want to respect that.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator Limmer. Senator Saltzman. Some of the questions I have is regarding not so much the contractual relationship, but the performance guidelines. And we're tiptoeing into an area where legislators are now going to start determining what is a performance guideline. Is that a construction element? Is that the use of specific products and that work well together? Or are we putting products together that may be incompatible with one another, like some of the building products I know? I think we have to be very careful when we go down this road. And I am sympathetic with going toward this direction, but I don't want to get us to the point that if we pass this without proper review and careful forward motion, that I'm fearful that we could be creating the same duplication of events that led to some of the building failures now. And so I don't think it was fully, even though it was a placeholder, I'm not sure if it was fully vetted at the time it was introduced. So I would suggest we not include it in this bill at this time.
I appreciate your very thoughtful comments. Would you like to identify yourself and speak to this issue, please?
Madam Chair and members, Joel Carlson. I represent the Minnesota Association for Justice. We have a number of attorney members who represent homeowners. I was at the Economic Development Committee when this issue first arose, after it had been through the Judiciary and Civil Law Committees. And we would echo Mr. Coyle's comments and just ask that you defer action to this, to the task force, and let them address it. That's what I think everyone would prefer. prefer, it is an important issue, but we'd like this to be reviewed with a little brighter spotlight. And sunshine is the best of disinfectants, and I think it will get to the bottom of this when you have the people that are really looking at it, because it was not vetted in judiciary, where I think that relationship should be addressed.
All right, thank you, Mr. Carlson. Okay, any other discussion from the panel? Yes, please identify yourself for the tape.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bill Strasinski, and I represent the Minnesota Electrical Association, one of the subcontractor groups. There were several subcontractor groups who were concerned about this matter. Just for the historical perspective, we weren't part of that task force last summer, and I understand some of our groups have applied and are going to be part of that task force review this coming forward this summer. However, this language came forward because this statute, this bill, as it exists today, goes into effect in January 2011 for these particular sections. Performance guidelines are not defined in statute. They're not defined in rule. We're subcontractors and may play a significant role in the development of the building of a home, whether they're mechanical subcontractors, electrical subcontractors, maybe even alarm subcontractors, or what have you. And since our work is going to be part of that process, we're asking for is what are the performance guidelines we're expected to achieve. Now, we know what codes are and what have you, and we didn't think it was a major issue just saying, if you're going to give the performance guidelines to the homeowner, why can't we have a copy of the performance guidelines as well so that we can make sure? Because we're held liable for our part, even if we go out of business according to the amendment you just adopted. That's pretty significant, and we're still held liable for that. All we're asking is for what are the performance guidelines to which we're make sure we're constructing to that. So the satisfaction of not just the general builder, but also the homeowner. I know the building contractor is going to be responsible in the future, not the subs. However, we're the ones that have to do the work and comply. So we didn't think it was that controversial. We didn't think it was that difficult. The homeowner is going to get the performance guidelines. Why can't the subcontractors get the performance guidelines as well, particularly those that affect us? That's our case. Because if the law went into effect in July or something, we had another session, or if they already developed the guidelines, maybe it's a moot point. But at this point, I'm just looking out for our subcontractors. We're very concerned about this particular provision, about having to meet something that they're not sure what they're having to meet or achieve. And that's what's really left open to interpretation, and that's the foundation of litigation. I think this clarifies all that. So that's our position. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Strasinski.
You said you represent electric contractors?
Yes.
And are they unionized?
Mr. Chairman, I represent some of our members are unionized. Most of them are rural Minnesota electrical contractors. They're typically not union. They're the small rural electrical contractors. Although I know NECA, the union contractors, have the same concerns. Unfortunately, Gary Thayton's in Washington, D.C. today. Otherwise, he would be here as well.
I don't want to take up a lot of the committee time, but I just wanted to get a general idea. With unions, much like real estate agents that put transactions together, if almost every work responsibility is put into a contract with an electric contractor, why doesn't your organization, especially union organizations, make some boilerplate language that would establish some performance guidelines and then lock down the contract so that general contractors will begin to learn that there's a performance guideline that you folks expect? And or do you want government to do that, and is government really the best tool to do that?
Madam
Chair, Senator Limmer, fair question. I think it would be best or easier for us to address it if we knew what the performance guidelines are. We're familiar with codes. We're not familiar with this term called performance guideline.
Yeah.
And frankly, no one's anybody else in this room know what it means, because it hasn't been developed yet. I think, at least they have a general idea. But we're talking about specific contractual obligations, specific amount of work that has to be performed under a contract for which I'm held liable. I get reimbursed, and if I don't, I have to fix it for the home builder, and that's where we're coming from on that. So there's no doubt you could have specific contractual language that says here's the performance guidelines, but we're not developing them for ourselves. Others are developing for them that we'll have to live with. That's all I'm saying. We don't know.
All right. Thank you so much for your comments. All right. Any other comments from the panel? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor of the A-10-2597 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
It does not pass, and we will ask the Home Warranty Task Force to make sure that this is an issue that they consider over the interim. Senator Salzman.
On the appointment, Madam Chair, and I do appreciate that the task force already has made a contact with the subcontractors so that they are part of that discussion. I think that's very important, and that there is time. I know there was extensive work done over a short period of time on what we've come to right now. So I think that before January, it would be helpful, if there are concerns, to bring them back to the authors of this bill.
Any further any further discussion on
Madam Chair?
The bill.
Yes. If I could offer that one final oral amendment on line 7.31, strike homeowner, insert home warranty.
What reference was that?
I will make the motion again. So on line 7.31, near the end of the line, would you just strike the word owner and insert the word warranty? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of that word change, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No. That also has passed. Very good. All right, so we're getting close here. Any further discussion on the overall bill? All right, hearing none, then those in favor of House File 3386 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Bill has passed. So everyone who has been involved in this issue, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Mr. Durenberger, we look forward to more work from Dolly on this, and the meeting is adjourned.